Well, what's up?
It's been about a month since we've talked to each other.
Yeah.
Here on the show. And in that month, everything has happened.
There's been a lot going on.
Absolutely everything happened.
Yeah.
So let's go Duffalo on the Odyssey app, where you get your podcast. He is Ryan Duffy.
Hello.
My name is Pat Duffy, and we will jump right into what happened as we taped the show this week.
Well, what happened?
Yesterday, specifically, around, we're taping this on a Thursday. So Wednesday, 11 o'clock, my phone starts going insane.
Mm-hmm.
I thought something was wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out it's not.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills have traded wide receiver Stephon Diggs to the Houston Texans. Okay, so your initial, because I know you heard about it from me, because I texted you, holy shiznit.
I didn't hear it from you. I have a phone that's connected to the internet.
You heard it from me.
I actually got the notification when I was on a meeting for something else, and I noticed the headline real quick, and I thought to myself, like, oh my God, I need to, but I had my camera on. I couldn't look at my phone, mm-hmm. but it was literally the longest 25 minutes of my entire life of like, I just want to look at my phone. Let me see the details. What's going on here?
Okay, so your knee-jerk reaction when you saw that come across at 11 o'clock in the morning was?
Shocked. I was shocked because everything leading up to that moment throughout the entire offseason was Stephon Diggs is going to be a Buffalo Bill. The salary cap, consequences of getting rid of him seemed way too high. Brandon Bean corroborated as much that, like, Steph's our guy. There hasn't been a whole, like, outside of a few, and most recently, you know, the you sure comment and
which,
all that
by
stuff.
The way, he already may have known he was going out of town.
Could've
it
been.
Said that Tuesday morning, well, I'm trying to think, that was Monday night. Well, I guess you can't really rely on secondhand accounts of trades happening anyway. That could have been a parting shot.
Could have been.
Knowing he was going out of town.
Yeah, for sure. But my point is that, like, at least the season didn't end as tumultuously as it did the previous season, where there was a lot more speculation that Stephon Diggs was not going to be a Buffalo Bill for the 2024 season. Now, or the 2023 season, rather. So, yeah, I was a little shocked. But now, I'm curious of what was your reaction to the whole thing?
Well, here's what I'm trying to figure out. I mean, everybody knows now, right? Diggs goes to the Texans with a fifth and a sixth for a second round next season, second round pick. I'm trying to figure out how this happens and why it happens now. Because there are two conspiracy theories, I guess you want to call it, because we're never going to know, right? Like, it's dolphin tight at one Bills drive now. Nothing ever.
No, he went to the Texans. Jordan Poyer went to the Dolphins.
What did I just say?
You said dolphin tight.
No, dolphin tight is in, like, nothing gets out. I'm sorry.
Right. He's on the Texans.
Shut up.
This so is Texans.
Oh,
tight.
Now I remember why we haven't done this in a month. Now I remember.
He's Chargers tight.
We're never going to know what actually the situation is.
Well, you're right, but I think we're gonna hear stuff
throughout,
but we're never truly gonna know.
Look, I don't trust any reports of anything coming out, right?
Right,
God,
right.
Look, that, okay, but we'll stick with Stephon Diggs for now. The two, I guess you would call them conspiracy theories, is was he traded because of off the field stuff, like the drama the last year and a half, everything that happened in Cincinnati, the no mini camp last year, the interaction with McDermott where he was very concerned he's not here, all the cryptic tweets, you got his brother tweeting he needs to get out of Buffalo, never comes out and defends that.
Twice last season.
Never says, hey guys, I'm happy to be here. You got everything that happened with the Bills reporter last season, blah, 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 blah. So there are Bills fans that are convinced that guy was such a jerk within the building that that's why they wanted him gone.
Well, okay, yep, go ahead.
Okay, and then there's the on-the-field conspiracy theory that, and I mean, it's been well documented the last couple of days, if you've been on social media, the last seven games of the season, for all intents and purposes, Stephon Diggs disappeared from the stat sheet, right? I mean, he didn't have a game over 100. He went seven games without a touchdown. The last target he ever gets as a Buffalo Bill is a 55-yard bomb that just goes right through his breadbasket.
In that game, what was he, 3-for-10 and 20, low 20 yardage?
Coughed up the ball on the first play of the game.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, like, I'm not here to torch the guy because I'm not going to be one of these people that, well, he was never good, any good anyway. He's arguably, he is a top three wide receiver in Bills history.
For sure. I mean, the stats alone say it. Like, don't get me wrong. I've been very, you have been very vocal on my behalf of my feelings of Stephon Diggs. But
when I saw this trade, I knew you were over the moon.
I'm not over the moon.
No, bro.
Don't cut me off.
Such a victory lap.
I'm not, absolutely not. But I think, like, regardless of how I feel about him as a player and the distractions that I accurately, that I absolutely still think he brought to the team, there is no denying that there was a a significant amount of production for a very long time. Now, granted, to your point, he did drop off at the end of last season, and also there were a lot of off-field distractions. And I think Tim Graham of The Athletic put it extremely well. If you have not read his article, I highly implore you to do so. But the analogy that he made was it wasn't one big thing that happened. It was death by a thousand micro cuts.
Okay, look, I love Tim Graham. When I grow up, I want to be Tim Graham.
Sure.
What number one wide receiver on any NFL roster doesn't do exactly what Stephon Diggs does?
Not to the caliber that Stephon Diggs does.
I disagree with you strongly. Look what's going on with T. Higgins in Cincinnati right now.
Okay, he requested a trade.
No, but like, I mean,
and he had been franchised
to that point. Leading up to that point, all these little things. Name me a single big time number one wide receiver throughout NFL history that doesn't have this in their background. You cannot.
Larry Fitzgerald.
Look, he.
What? You suck.
Are you sure? By the way, you want to talk about off-the-field distractions? Why don't you Google what happened earlier in his career?
I'm talking on the side of your mouth.
Well, there's a reason I'm talking on the side of my mouth. There's a reason, because there's a pretty big story that everyone seems to forget about Larry Fitzgerald that is not the best thing in the world.
Arizona Cardinals wide receiver Lawrence Fitzgerald.
Trust me on this.
I'm going to take your word for it.
All right,
but to your point, like it is a common thing among wide receivers in the league. You see all the drama that was going on with Justin Jefferson.
Yeah.
You see all the drama going on with T. Higgins. Mm-hmm. You see the drama going on with Tyreek Hill, Antonio Brown, Stephon Diggs.
I mean, Antonio Brown,
of course. But I'm just saying, like Keenan Allen. Like there's a lot of that kind of goes part and parcel with being a wide receiver in the NFL.
Okay, so then with you doing the victory lap, because we were on multiple chain text messages with different people on Tuesday.
What can I say? My opinion is popular, and people want to get what's going on in my head.
I just assumed that they were asking me, and you just happened to be on the thing, and you're the one that responded.
Because that's how text messages work.
Okay, but what I'm getting at is, I think we're going to be fine, man. Not worried at all. Check me out. I'm Ryan.
I literally did not say that at all. I think what you're referring to is me saying, I think it's for the best for everybody, which I do. As shocked as I was to see the news come across, the more time I've had to really kind of digest and sit on it, mm-hmm. I do think that it's best for all parties involved.
Okay, so Ryan, I have your quote.
Go ahead.
Are you ready?
Shoot.
This was in a group text with some other sports people.
Ooh.
And I don't know how Ryan got in.
Not Stephon Diggs.
So we say, somebody asks, how do we feel about this? And Ryan writes, perfectly fine by me. I wish there wasn't as much of a dead cap head, but I think it's best for all involved.
Literally what I just said.
So happy he's gone. Check me out. He's gone. He's gone. All right. Ryan's excited.
Why
is Michael McDonald with... Okay. Is it the on the field or the off the field stuff that sent him off to Houston?
If you say
combination, I'm going to punch you in the face.
I think it has to be the off the field stuff. For sure.
I disagree.
Okay. That's fine.
I don't think that there can be enough of a distraction where if you think the talent's there, you ship him out of town. I think they're legitimately concerned that he's on the back end of his career.
I mean, could be. And you absolutely could be. And that's why I wanted to say it's a combination of both. But I do think that the scale is tipped on the off the field issues. I mean, at the end of the day, like, he was voted a captain. He is a representative of the team. I'm just saying, like call it a popularity contest all you want, and every locker room is going to be different, but like the idea that like his peers voted him as a captain.
Bro, this ain't the NHL. This ain't some sacred sea that gets put on somebody's sweater while they have candles and they're all standing around naked, which, by the way, you can't do anymore. I mean, there are five, six, seven cap. Tyler Matakavich is a captain.
Yeah.
Right?
You want to know? You know what? I was just thinking this the other day. Like, the only captains that are carrying over from last season to this season is Josh Allen, yep. And I think who was the other special teams captain?
I'm blanking, but yeah, they lost six out of the eight.
Yeah,
yeah.
Poyer, Hyde to be determined. But Mitch Morris, gone. Gabe Davis, Stephon Diggs, and whoever else.
But you prove my point. You prove my point. Like, there's such valuable leaders.
It's just an anecdote.
Six out of eight of those guys are gone. So yeah. No, I mean, putting a C on a guy's jersey because he wants to feel like he's a leader of the team. Right? Yeah, it's an ego stroke.
I think though, but my point was, I think that if he was a, and I'm not trying to imply that Stephon Diggs is a bad teammate. I've never seen anybody Here's the thing. I've never seen anybody come out and say he is a bad teammate. I think he is very vocal, and that's just how he expresses himself. I don't like the distractions that it brings to the team as a fan, but what do I, like, what does my opinion matter? My point is, though, I've never heard anyone say that he's a bad teammate. His teammates voted him as a captain. I think if there wasn't as many off-field distractions, the Bills would be willing to run it back for another year. But also, too, the finances of the whole thing, like, yeah, you take a little bit of a hit this year, things open up more for 2025 after the Bills win the Super Bowl, and then everything's all hunky-dory.
So, but let's talk about that, right? Because you bring up the financials, and you don't think the Bills move on this offseason if he's an ideal soldier in the locker room.
Let me just get my my calculator that has like the little pen or the little like pull handle paper wheelie thing, and then my green rimmed hat. Okay, go ahead.
I think that even without the off the field stuff, based on how things went towards the end of the season last year, when you get offered a second round pick for Stephon Diggs, even
for next year,
Okay, look at what the other receivers have been going for in the offseason, right? He's 30, he's gonna be 31 years old when this season starts.
Sure.
What was it? Keenan Allen, fifth round pick? Who was it? Who was the guy from Dallas who was a fourth round pick? Was that Amari Cooper? Did Amari Cooper get a fourth? Am I thinking of the wrong guy?
I don't know.
Point I'm making is when I saw second round pick next year, I was astonished that the Texans were willing to do that deal. Do you know how valuable a second round pick is in the NFL right now?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. But
look,
again,
look at it this way. I know the cap hit sucks. The cap hit sucks.
Sorry, cap doesn't exist. I'm patting on a beard.
Dead cap exists. Real cap does not.
Well, that's actually, you would think it would be the other way around.
Okay. You traded a first round pick for Stephon Diggs to Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
You get a second round pick, and Minnesota's going to suck this year. So that could be a top five pick in the second round that you're getting next season.
Oh, that's a good... Oh, yeah, that's right. That is from Minnesota.
It's not Houston's. It's Minnesota's pick.
Yeah.
So you essentially got 4 years of Stephon Diggs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the cap hit notwithstanding.
Sure.
For 12 draft spots.
So I was actually thinking that, too, and I didn't know how to articulate it yesterday when the news came across. Obviously, the Bills gave up a first-round pick for Stephon Diggs.
But this could be a borderline first-round pick.
I agree. So the idea that, like, and to your point, like, yeah, the dead money is sucks, and it needs
it
to
is
go.
Sucks.
It is sucks.
It is sucks.
And eventually, next season, it will go to cap heaven. But the idea that we got 4 years of, and statistically speaking, an all-time Bills wide receiver, and we lost one round in the pick, you know, like in the compensation we got for him.
You lost a third, maybe a half of a round.
Yeah.
That's it.
I think that is a pretty sweet deal. I think anyone that was thinking that we were going to get a first-round pick for Stephon Diggs is misguided.
Look, and that's what I'm getting at here, is there's a belief that the best general managers in the NFL
is Brandon Bean.
No, that the best, get rid of, it's better to lose a guy a year early than lose him a year late.
Sure.
What I mean by that is, if you let Stephon Diggs play out this year to mitigate the cap hit, he's going to be 32 starting next season, nobody's giving you anything for him, right? You're not getting anything for him. And if he continues to have a downward trend, which I don't know if that happens, I think the guy could still play, but what do I know?
And I also think with the, go ahead. Yeah.
That you get nothing for him.
Mm-hmm.
If you can swallow the $31 million,
you're going to need a big fork and knife for that
one. But then again, you got that second round pick back. I don't think that they use that second round pick. I think that second round pick gets packaged for them to go after somebody they have their eye on in this draft, i.e. a wide receiver.
You're going to have to Joey Chestnut dunk that water before you slide it down your gullet.
So the idea getting assets back for something that was going to seriously cost you next season, I like that idea. There's also the idea that the fastest way to kill a budding franchise is to be too loyal to guys that are getting older. And it sucks, but we've seen over the last month with Trey White, Mitch Morris, I mean, Gabe Davis is an age, that's just non-performance, but Tre'Davious White and now Stephon Diggs, they're willing to turn the page.
And Poyer and Hyde.
Yeah, them too.
Yeah.
Well, Hyde was his own decision.
Sure. Right?
But you were going to say, I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, like, to your point, like, I agree with you. I still think that Stephon Diggs can play. And I'm actually very curious to see, and I guess excited to some degree, of how well he's going to perform in the Houston Texans offense, where there are some other bona fide number one wide receivers there.
So let's talk about that. Yesterday, or on Wednesday when the trade went down, I didn't understand why Houston wanted to do this, because I think a second round pick is too much for Stephon Diggs. Like I said, I was shocked when that happened.
Yeah.
You have two young receivers that are really, really good.
Yeah.
We're so good that even with one injured, you won a playoff game last season.
That's Nico Collins and Tank Dell, right?
Isn't Tank Dell a defensive tackle?
No, Tank Dell is a wide receiver.
I always assume his name.
He got hurt halfway, or what, halfway?
But that's what I mean. Like, yeah. I mean, so, like, those guys are your bread and butter guys. And I understand wanting to bring in a veteran wide receiver. But if you look at the situation in Buffalo where the Bills, up until the last seven games, were forcing him the ball, right? Do you want to take those targets away from those younger, faster, more talented wide receivers?
Well, the way I see it is you have someone who is an excellent route runner in Stephon Diggs, and you now have that as a safety blanket as opposed to, you know, him being the true number one. And I'm not saying that Stephon Diggs is you know, wasn't a true number one. Obviously, he was number one in Buffalo.
And, but he wasn't statistically toward the last seven games of the season. He wasn't.
Yeah. Oh, no, of course. But, like, I mean, just, like, positionally speaking.
Okay.
And I don't think that he would necessarily immediately be a number one there, but there's no denying his skill set, and I think he's going to do... I would not be surprised if he did very well with the Texans offense. But that is also assuming that C.J. Stroud continues to play at the level that he played last year.
Look, I think C.J. Stroud's a great quarterback. Sure. I do. I'm not scared of Houston the way that some people are for some reason, like, because there was an argument you just made the Houston Texans Super Bowl contenders.
Yeah.
Stephon Diggs does not make you a Super Bowl contender.
I thought the exact same. Like, I hate to just be this, like, agreement factory that we have going on here. But,
no,
like,
you're finally making sense.
But... I completely agree. Like, all of these notifications I see coming across, like, Houston Texans are officially all in, and they're officially a top three team in the NFL. Like, dude, it's like 7 months away before we even see anybody play football.
And, like, I'll go a step further, right? Like, if you were bringing Stephon Diggs into a situation where he was the clear number one receiver with a really good two and slot receiver there, I get that.
Yeah.
But that's not what this is going to be. You're not going to demote those two younger, more talented guys. And I say younger, more talented because they're faster and they flashed last year. If Stephon Diggs is a guy who's going to run shorter routes and catch 3 to 6 balls a game? Is he going to be okay with that? 3 to 6 targets a game?
Well, that's the Stephon Diggs experiment that Buffalo just went through and Minnesota went through too. I saw someone tweeted that, and it actually encompasses exactly what I feel about the whole situation. It's like Stephon Diggs was a number one wide receiver on a playoff team in Minnesota, and he was unhappy. So he went to Buffalo, where he was a number one receiver on a playoff team. So then he was unhappy. So he went to Houston, where he was a ..
Yeah, but
like, it's history repeating itself.
And maybe in a position where there's less pressure on him, that's something that he wants.
Maybe, yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, he is, like, you, like everyone keeps saying, like, he is on the other side of 30 at this point, you know, like,
well, he said it himself.
Sure.
He said it himself last offseason. He has more seasons in his past than he does in his future.
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe this is the you know, perfect transition for him, but he also said that when he came to Buffalo first, he's like, you know, putting all the Minnesota stuff behind him and turning the page and all that jazz, and, you know, kind of ended in a very similar manner.
Yeah. But I don't know, man. If you're chasing a ring, I'm sorry. My wife made this salad. She said it was a French salad.
Burp salad?
It had an egg and tuna, so that's going to be a bad one.
Are you?
I'm sorry.
I'm
not happy.
The way that
I'm not happy about this.
So you decide to drink a soda.
Yeah, I did.
After you eat a tuna fish and egg salad.
Tuna fish, egg.
The two salads that separately are perfectly fine on a sandwich.
Oh, no. It wasn't egg salad. It was an egg in a salad with some tuna. There was no mayo. You know, my body's a temple. Hashtag no days off.
Tuna egg salad.
Yes. It was actually disgusting. Way better. I thought it was going to be disgusting. It was delicious. Also had a potato in it.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
Like a whole potato?
Yeah, it was. It was a whole potato quartered. It was delicious.
Like an apple.
Red potato. See, I lost my train of thought.
Because you're gross.
Let's talk about Josh Allen.
Sure.
Because, you know, Brandon Bean sits down on Wednesday, 4 o'clock after the trade.
Yeah.
And he's asked, you know, did Josh Allen sign off on this? Mm-hmm. And Brandon Bean, and I'm paraphrasing, says,
no.
We didn't alert Josh that this was going to happen, although we told him it was a possibility in the offseason.
Yeah.
And then his pants immediately burst into flames.
His nose knocked over the microphone.
It
grew 10 feet.
You're going to tell me your franchise quarterback, face of the team, guy you're paying $250 million to, you did not place a phone call to see if he was okay with his number one receiver being traded in the conference?
Yeah, well,
are you kidding me right now?
I don't know if Brandon Bean said this or someone, or some commentator said it, but, like, oh yeah, the idea that, like, yeah, Josh probably woke up to this information on his phone on the West Coast. Like, can you imagine? Like, let's say everything that we heard from Brandon Bean is true, and that Josh was completely in the dark on this. Can you imagine just him waking up in his, I assume, Malibu or wherever he is, just, oh man, what a beautiful view of the ocean. I'm just gonna go get my coffee and check my what?
Look, man,
Gadzooks!
I get you want to make your quarterback look like a good guy.
Sure.
Right? I get you don't want him caught in the line of fire here. Mm-hmm. But is there a single person alive who believes that Josh Allen was not on the phone? Because on Tuesday night, Terry Pegula, owner of the Bills, was in the building for Jeff Skinner's 1,000th Sabres game, or hockey game.
Did you see the jet ski that he got?
I did see the jet ski.
1,000. It's like the equivalent. Don't get me wrong. A jet ski is pretty cool. But like when I saw it said 1,000 games on it, I just thought of like that Office episode where Michael gets the hockey jersey on the back and just says, from Dwight.
Yeah, it also sucks because like wherever you park it, everyone's going to know Jeff Skinner hangs right. out here.
Oh my God, Jeff Skinner's here.
I also love their calling at the Jeff ski.
That's hilarious.
But
Terry, also kind of right there served up for you, but still way to take advantage of it. Low hanging fruit.
Terry Pegula was at the game and everyone assumed he was there to say congratulations to Jeff Skinner. And then somebody, an insider, found out he was at the arena till long after midnight. And the joke was something's going down here. Well, it turns out it was.
He was getting drunk with Jeff Skinner on the Jeff ski.
But I find it hard to believe that if they were having conversations about trading Stephon Diggs that night, that Josh Allen wasn't on that call at some point.
Yeah.
He has to be.
You're absolutely right.
And he wants
right.
to hear the plan. Like, even if you're not looking for his permission, which I think they would.
Yeah.
Or at least you're telling him, look, we're doing this and we want you to be one of the first to know. You have to alert him as to what your plan is mm-hmm. moving forward.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
No?
I know. I'm with you. But here's the thing. Like, I'm such a gullible mark that, like,
yeah,
when are. I see the you know, the tweet that says, per Brandon Bean, Josh Allen was not made aware of this, whatever. Like, I take it as gospel initially. And that's because I'm a rube, you know? But to your point, I completely agree with you that, like, there's no way they can make that kind of decision in a bubble. Now, of course, they have every right to from a business perspective, but I just can't imagine.
No, look, man, if you already had trouble, if the off-the-field issues with Stephon Diggs, the mm-hmm. drama, I mean, off-the-field issues was more Von Miller, the drama off the field.
Gosh.
Is what shipped Stephon Diggs out of town. That franchise is going to do everything they can to make sure Josh Allen's happy.
Sure.
You cannot cause any friction.
No, but I'm just saying, like of course, like any general manager can make that decision, whether it's with the head coach. Like, that's literally their job. They can make that decision. But I'm just saying, like, I think that it would be ill-advised that if they made that decision in a bubble, and I'm sure Josh Allen was advised on it.
Do the Bills think they can win right now?
I think they can win right now.
No, do the Bills think they can win right
now? I absolutely think they can win right now. And I think that, like, if anything, this is a great amount of motivation for them to win right now. Because literally everyone has now said the Bills are at the third in the AFC East at this point behind the Dolphins and the Jets.
So let's talk about that for a second. Like, it does feel like they made this move because they think so little of the AFC East that they can make all of the changes they've made on the roster, you know, set up the cap for 2025 to be malleable mm-hmm. and still win the division. And the argument for that is pretty strong. I mean, Miami is cutting salaries like the Bills are, but the difference there is Buffalo is jettisoning older players that have been injured,
mm-hmm.
where Miami is letting guys walk out of the building in their prime.
Mm.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And Miami hasn't even paid their quarterback yet.
Yeah.
And then you look at the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
40-whatever-year-old Aaron Rodgers coming off an Achilles, having played 4 snaps with the coach, offensive coordinator, and GM all on the hot seat.
Yeah, but he's Aaron Rodgers, Patrick.
Okay.
He hasn't played football in 2 years.
Well, a year. It'll be
of
year.
Course he's going to be, you know, he's you know, watch the crown, you know? Watch the throne. I don't know. I didn't watch the show. I don't know. But still.
New England is not even relevant, so we don't have to talk about them.
Well, but after this horrible move by the Bills, like, who's to say they're not going to end up basement of the division? And from what I could see, the Patriots are going after Brandon Ayuk or Ayuk?
Ayuk, yeah.
Yeah.
I saw the Bills are going after Brandon. Everyone's going after Brandon Ayuk. Right. He's moving into my house. I got a guest room. Look, I mean, but that's the sign of a good coach in front office, right? Like,
and handsome.
Okay. If you can make all these moves and still be the betting favorite in Vegas, which, by the way, the Bills are to win the AFC East.
Vegas.
They are still the betting.
For those listening at home who are taking a drink anytime, if you're over 21.
How else would you say
Vegas?
How else would you say it?
Vegas.
How else? No, how else?
No, it's not the matter of the pronunciation. It's just the fact that every single episode, by some way,
yes,
you are able to squeak out the term Vegas.
Because I'm trying not to sound like a biased Bills fan. I am explaining that even the bookmakers in Las Vegas, mm-hmm. which is what normal people say when they're talking about odds.
Vegas.
Believe the Bills, they're still the favorites to win the AFC East right now.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
If Bean and McDermott pull this off,
mm-hmm.
what they've done over the last month, and they are still Super Bowl contenders, They're the greatest GM coach combo in history.
I mean,
Bills history.
I think, like, say what you will about Brandon Bean's, you know, draft hitting capabilities, and say what you will about Sean McDermott and his questionable game time decisions at times throughout his tenure.
By the way, don't love the extra challenge. That rule changed this year.
Yeah, seriously.
But you were saying,
you know, say what you will, like, they're not without their criticisms. I'm not saying they're infallible, but I think they've done a really good job up to this point, and I think that gives them a little bit of the benefit of the doubt that there's some kind of plan here.
Well, yeah, but yeah. Look, that's Bean's MO, right? Like, you're right. Not gonna make a move without a corresponding move. Like, sure. It's not just cut. It's not the old days where, you know, you cut Bruce Thurman and Andre. And like, well,
there's going to be a couple years of pain here.
Exactly.
Who was that? Darcy Ruggiero.
Darcy Ruggiero. He said that, and we haven't made the playoffs since. But, like, they're going to take that pick, and they're going to package it to go find somebody in that draft.
Sure.
There's going to be a trade that they're not going to leave Khalil Shakir as the number one receiver coming in next year.
Or Curtis Samuel
right behind him, right? And here's the thing, man. They deserve the benefit of the doubt, right? Like, I mean, when they first got here,
that's what I just said. You're saying what I just said.
The slogan was trust the process.
Sure.
And, you know, again, you can talk about the on-the-field stuff with McDermott and his decisions. Mm-hmm. And I don't even think that the drafting record for Bean is all that bad, to be honest with you. I mean, they're all still in the league. Gabe Davis got a monster contract. Terrell Edmonds got a monster contract. I mean, what's your problem with drafting there?
Cody Ford, why can't I think of his name?
Because your argument's bad.
Traded to the Colts. Zach Moss. Devin Singletary's on a different team.
Wait a minute. But yeah, but the running backs never make it to second contracts anymore. You got assets for those guys.
But they're also not on the team anymore.
Yes, okay. You
didn't get an asset for Devin Singletary. You didn't get a comp pick.
You got an asset for Zach Moss.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
You got Nyheim Hines, who is also not on the team anymore. And you didn't get any draft compensation for it.
But he's still an asset. He was an asset.
Fair enough. Fine. I'm just saying, like, there are... You miss on Cody Ford. By all accounts up to this point, you know, Kyrie Elam was a bit of a stretch, and it doesn't, like, he's not being an active contributor to the team.
Okay.
There's no denying that his late round picks, Terrell Bernard, Matt Milano, Taron Johnson, Christian Benford, like, those are really solid picks that really weigh the scale the other way.
And that's the point I'm making, right? As long as you have guys that can play that are on the field, no matter where they were drafted, it works for you, and they have those guys.
Yeah, and I think also, too, and maybe this kind of goes without saying, but, like, I think the later round picks, if they're significant contributors to the team, I think that really kind of balances out the potential misses or the some misses.
No, it does. Exactly. Rounds. Like, whether if your first round, if you miss on Elam, but Benford is that guy that you hoped Elam was going to be. Okay.
Sure.
Because how many 6th round picks make it to their second contract?
For sure.
Not a lot.
Yeah.
Look, what I'm saying is, look, Bean and McDermott have, since they got here, been laughed at every offseason nationally.
Mm-hmm.
And they're always in it. So, don't they deserve the benefit of the doubt here?
I definitely think they do. That's why I said it earlier. They deserve the benefit of the doubt.
Okay.
And I can't wait to see what's up that Bean sleeve that's likely going to be rolled up to the elbow on draft night.
Well,
that's actually more of a day two look. He seems like a suit and tie all the way top button on draft night.
Well, that's the other weird thing. And we'll just real quick to touch on it, because we'll have a lot of time to talk about this getting into the draft. If their plan is to go and get someone in the top 15, top 10, like a top 3 wide receiver, which I guess is feasible,
mm-hmm.
It wouldn't line up with what McDermott's comfortable with, because he doesn't like giving rookies responsibility right out of the gate, and that would be your number one receiver.
It's a new era at Highmark. Really missed the opportunity with that one.
Like, even Dalton Kincaid, who broke every Bills rookie tight end record, mm-hmm. and was up there in the NFL rookie tight end.
For Bills tight end record, not even rookie tight end record.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, even they didn't really let him loose until halfway through the season.
Yeah. Right? When they tried to prove to Stephon Diggs that, like, hey, we actually don't need you, sir.
I mean, it worked. Look, I mean, those last 7 games, he didn't have a touchdown. They averaged 27 points a game and mm-hmm. went 6-1.
Yeah.
The only loss in overtime after Gabe Davis ran the wrong damn route coming out of his break.
Terrible. Well, now that he's in Florida, he's closer to the equator where the Coriolis effect will actually kick in. So even if he runs the wrong way, it'll be right.
Can you go home?
Why? That was a funny joke.
I don't even know what that means.
Where the water goes the other way. You remember that Simpsons episode? Come on. You're not dumb.
It has nothing to do with the equator. It's the other hemisphere, you idiot.
Yeah, which is below the equator.
You realize that Florida's in the same hemisphere as
I
you.
Know. I'm saying that they were closer to the equator. Are you, like, are you deliberately
Australia
being obtuse?
Is literally on the obtuse.
It was a joke.
Okay. You're wearing a Vineyard Vine zip-up, and you're going to try and use the word obtuse on
me? Is it deliberate? Are you being deliberately obtuse?
What is that from?
Shawshank.
Go home. So with all these players being shipped out of Buffalo, let walk from Buffalo, there are some serious issues for Bills fans that want to show their pride come Sundays and bars into the stadium. Mm-mm. And you may need to get a new outfit, my friend. Mm. A very expensive, specific part of your Bills outfit. It's hard to figure out who the safest move is right now, and we will get into it next. Let's go Duffalo, the Odyssey Amber Beach Podcast. Say look good, play good. Look good, cheer good.
Sure.
Look, I mean, a jersey is sacred for all Bills fans.
100%. I couldn't. You've never said something more true.
And I would make the argument that Bills fans, more than most franchises, value their jerseys come game day.
Well, sure, because all those other fan bases are dumb.
Well, that being
and
said.
And ugly.
That being said, there is a serious, serious problem for a lot of Bills fans that have shown up over the last 4 weeks.
You can make that argument.
So let's go Duffalo, the Odyssey app, where we get your podcast. He is Ryan Duffy.
Hello.
I am Pat Duffy. You can find us on social media.
Yeah, you can find us on TikTok and on Instagram at let's.go.duffalo.
Must have been busy because you stopped tweeting out videos of yourself.
Well, I have been a little bit busy, yeah. I've had a lot of, reflecting time.
Shut up.
And I didn't want to follow the trend. It's what is it like, speak quietly and carry a big stick. Our tweets, or not tweets because we're not on Twitter, our grams and talks, they're the big stick.
Just stop talking.
They're my big stick that I carry.
Talking in the
and
podcast.
I talk quietly.
Okay. Over the last month, the Bills have lost or let walk Gabe Davis.
Yep.
Mitch Morse. Mm-hmm. Tre'Davious White.
There's three.
Jordan Poyer.
Keep it going.
Looks like Micah Hyde.
Probably.
And this week, Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, see you later.
So those are six players who adorned the closets of many a Bills fan. Mm-hmm. Jerseys that you saw every single Sunday.
Yep.
Across the stadium, in every bar that you walked into, and pictures of people watching the game from home that they were putting out on social media.
Mm-hmm.
And those people, before opening day, most likely will be in the market for a new jersey. So can we first talk about how ridiculous the prices of licensed NFL jerseys have become?
Dude, it makes me want to throw up. I legitimately want to throw up when I see it.
So for those who aren't jersey people, there are three tiers of NFL jerseys, licensed jerseys you can buy from the team shop.
Which is a Fanatics experience.
Actually, four. I take it back. There's a sublimated jersey, which is the cheapest of the jerseys. Those are like $80.
That's a word that you just made up. Sublimate.
Google it. It's a real thing.
Sure. Dollars.
It means that the number is dyed into the jersey.
Oh, fun. Oh, sublimated.
Okay.
Got it.
So you rarely see those. There's the like in the door jersey, like the bottom level. That's just like the heat press plastic numbers on a shirt.
Plastic.
That's $125. There's the kind of sewn on jersey.
Mm-hmm.
That's $180.
Dollars.
And then there's the on the field ones that the players wear that you can buy.
Mm-hmm.
$325.
Yeah, crazy. $325. First of all, I'm like, God bless you. If you have the money to spend, you want to treat yourself to, you know, something that you're going to wear on Sundays and likely to a wedding, you go ahead and spend that $325 on your Josh Allen on-field game day jersey.
So right now, because they were selling three of them. They were, the Bills team shop was selling a Josh Allen, mm-hmm. Tre'Davious White, and mm-hmm. Stephon Diggs on-field $325 jersey.
Yeah.
They have pulled the Tre'Davious White and the Stephon Diggs.
Dude, I checked it last, and maybe they did as of today.
The Authentics. Not the regular ones, because the Diggs ones, I know, because I looked to see if they were on sale, too.
Oh, I saw Tre'Davious White was down to, like, $87.
I'm going
to
wait. I'm gonna buy on the dip.
For sure. Well, there's a low amount of inventory, just mind you. But at the last I checked yesterday, which was the day that Stephon Diggs was traded,
yeah.
They were still full price. They were not featured on the Bills store, which I think is probably a smart move at this point for anyone who's willing to pay, you know, the guy who lives in Alaska, our uncle, who is like, you know, I'm going to buy my Stephon Diggs jersey and I'll just check my internet connection tomorrow.
No, I'll tell you who's the victim of buying the full price Diggs jerseys right now. Grandmas on birthdays.
Oh, terrible.
Because like, there's going to be some kid this week in Western New York who opens up a box of a brand new full price Stephon Diggs jersey.
Don't you have a Bleacher Report, Nana? Gosh.
The reason I bring this up is if you had a Jordan Poyer, Micah Hyde, White, Gabe Davis, Mitch Moore, Stephon Diggs jersey, mm-hmm. and you are now in the market for a current player, you have to make a smart decision because you're making a serious investment on that jersey you're going to wear every Sunday.
Let's be honest. I don't think there are a lot of people with a Mitch Morris jersey, okay?
Oh, yeah, that's okay, but white Mitch Morris out.
Yeah, and I also think that, like, I did see a lot of Poyer jerseys. I saw more Hyde than Poyer, mm-hmm. but to your point, anytime I went into the fan shop, like, at games or like, anywhere that, like, jerseys were sold, let's say, like, Dick's or whatever, Gabe Davis was a jersey that was available. That was
one upstairs.
Right. That was I wouldn't, obviously, like, Josh and Stephon Diggs were one and two. And I saw some Knoxes here or there. But, like, Gabe Davis was a prominent jersey that was available for retail shoppers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So there is a large number of people that are just like, what am I supposed to do now? Change it to Stevie Johnson?
14?
13. Gabe Davis.
Oh, Gabe Davis.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that was Calvin Benjamin.
Oh, good call. That would be a great jersey.
I'm keeping my Gabe, man. That Gabe is going to be gold in 5 years.
I just love the idea that, like, all the people that brought a Ryan Fitzpatrick jersey, like, put it to Watkins first.
You're right.
And then change it to Diggs. Yep. And now they can just pull all of that tape right off and just go right back to Ryan Fitzpatrick.
All right. So with all that being said, if you are in the market for a Bills jersey, you want the safest jersey you can buy right now. Ryan, who is the safest Bills jersey at the moment?
Other than Josh Allen.
Okay, so it's Josh Allen, but that might be lame.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not going to hate. I have a Josh Allen jersey.
I have multiple Josh Allen jerseys around. I'm not hating. But everybody...
It's your Navy suit. Like, you have, like... You start with navy, and then you branch out into different colors because everything goes with navy.
No, you're right. Everybody has to have... okay. But I'm saying if you don't want to be that person that is wearing what everyone else is wearing,
because
there are those people.
Yeah.
Outside of Josh, Ryan, right now, who is the safest Buffalo Bills jersey to buy?
Oh, my gosh. That's a hard... I think Kincaid.
Okay.
Right now.
Dalton Kincaid.
Yeah. But that's literally because he's going into year two.
Okay, but let's talk about that.
Sure.
Right? Because Stephon Diggs was going into year five.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, that's three more.
No, I understand.
And the NFL is like super dog years.
Okay. Dalton Kincaid had an unbelievable season last year.
Sure.
And I'm with you. I believe Dalton Kincaid is going to be something special for this team.
Oh, that's so sweet.
That being said, to invest that kind of money
mm-hmm.
in a rookie
yep.
that had a great half a season
yeah.
on the back end, it's not the safe move you think it is.
For sure. Well, I so you make a good point, you know. I think that I'm looking at it strictly from a contract length perspective.
It's five.
Right. So, but compared to anybody else on the roster, because I was also going to say Matt Milano.
Okay, so let's talk about Mario here, but finish with your Kincaid.
Well, I was going to say with Kincaid, I'm thinking of it like, okay, you don't have to pay him for another 3 years because you have that rookie contract. There is the optional fifth year, right? If they did want to. Right?
But, I mean, he has to continue to perform to get to that fifth year option.
Of course.
So and that's, stay healthy.
Right. So that's just assuming that all things are equal and we're going to have him for the next 4 years. That's why I feel it's the safest bet. But otherwise, as far as like outside of Josh Allen and like performance player, like you want to make a statement. You're walking into that job interview mm-hmm. and you have that 58 jersey on and that boss is like, I like the cut of this person's jib.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to hire him right on the spot.
Okay. So Matt Milano's your guy.
I think so.
Safest.
Yeah.
Matt Milano is a risk right now.
Yeah, I definitely think so. But I live my life a quarter jersey at a time.
Okay, so Matt Milano's coming back from a major injury that can affect, pinpoint the job that he does on this team.
Yeah.
The Bills have also shown over the last couple of years that once a guy hits 30, they're willing to move on.
No. Stephon Diggs, Jordan Poyer, Micah Hyde, Stephon Diggs.
Mitch Morris, Tre'Davious White, right?
Stephon Diggs twice.
He turns 30 in July.
Oh, no.
Matt Milano turns 30. Look, I mean... And the other thing that we've seen is that Sean McDermott very much believes in his system. And I am not trying to take anything away from Matt Milano. I love Matt Milano. I hope Matt Milano's on this team for another 7 years.
Sure.
Right? But if you're looking at the trends to make sure that you are not setting your money on fire and buying a new jersey, I don't think Matt Milano is the rock solid purchase you think it is.
Okay. Well, I don't think that it. I
kinda
still
said it kind of.
Okay.
Well, he's my number. I have a Matt Milano jersey.
Sure.
Also,
well, so. But you're a degenerate jersey buyer. That's just how that's how this is.
I am. Yes.
So okay. Fair enough. Well, I'll tell you who I'm not going to buy.
Who are you not buying?
Any running back ever.
Great call. They never make it to their second contract.
Right. I don't think it's worth the investment. I think, like, I'm more of a legacy guy. Like, I would buy a Micah Hyde jersey now.
What? No.
For the statement. No. I would. I would. Personally, no. I would.
Okay,
I would.
Wait, hold on. If he retires as a Bill, that's okay.
Okay.
But it's still kind of lame.
That's your opinion?
No, I mean, it's not an opinion. It's a fact. Still kind of lame. Because, like, let's talk about, like, you know, your Gabe Davises, your Stephon Diggs, your Jordan Poyers, your Tre'Davious Whites, all those guys.
Mm-hmm.
There's
the five people that have a Mitch Morse jersey.
There's a cooling off period
mm-hmm.
after a guy is gone
sure.
where you can once again put his jersey on and it's cool.
Mm-hmm.
So there will be a time, if you have all those jerseys we just mentioned, that you can wear it back to the stadium again and everyone's going to high five you.
Mm-hmm.
How long is that period of time?
I really think it depends on the player. I really think so.
Okay, so if we're talking Tre'Davious White, how many years before you put that jersey back on?
I would put it on right now. That's a bad example.
Bills play him this year.
Great. I love Tre'Davious White, and I love what he meant to the team and what he ushered in as the first pick of the McDermott era. I will stand on
He's
this hill
league.
All day.
He's playing against you this year.
Fantastic. Good for him.
Pick
it's
six.
A player-driven
pick
league.
Six to win the game.
That sucks for the Bills, especially
being... happened because you wore that jersey.
Well, it would be an interconference game because he plays for the Rams, so it doesn't really make
any
difference.
They play him this year.
Right, but I'm just saying, like, it wouldn't be as effective on the playoff seating. But my point
Bills
is, though,
Bills lose the division by one game to the Dolphins.
Terrible.
That's all your fault.
Awful. But also, with what Tre'Davious White's been through over the last 2 years, I think he should get his flowers.
What?
I'm sorry, man. I have completely... I love the Buffalo Bills more than anything in this world, uh-huh. except for my wife and children.
Nice catch.
Arguable. It's tied for one across all three of those. I grouped my two children into one. My point is, I have really changed my perspective over the last couple of years to having more of an appreciation for the player. I obviously want the Bills to win, but with everything that I appreciate that Tre'Davious White has done for the Western New York area and for the Buffalo Bills, I want him to succeed. I absolutely do.
Look, I'm with you. I also want Tre'Davious White to succeed. I'm not going to wear his jersey until he's out of the league. I'm not going to.
That's just you.
No.
I think, like, but going back to your original question, let's just say it's Joe Schmo player that doesn't have any type of, like, you know, Joe Schmo was a strong safety, if I recall, during the 70s.
Why?
I think that, like, there's
When I see Bill's news break that we have to do a show about, I hate it because it means I have to sit across from you while you make these.
No.
Like, for example, what's happening right now?
I think that there's a 4 to 5 year cooling off period before you could wear somebody's jersey. Now, I think that's a general rule. Personally speaking, I'd wear a Nate Peterman jersey like tomorrow. Okay. Like, I would have worn it 3 seasons ago.
So let's talk about that, by the way. Also, while we were on break, Nate Peterman somehow was signed by the New Orleans Saints. You didn't see that?
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't subscribe to Nate Peterman as notifications
on
Bleacher
Report. How did you not see this?
That's funny.
How? Okay, again, he somehow got another job, and that's a whole other debate. We don't have time for this right now.
Dude.
There are some Bills players that are so funny, you can continue to wear their jersey forever.
Sure.
Nate Peterman is one of those guys. I'm trying to think of what... Okay, I have an O.J. Howard Bills jersey.
Okay.
That I got for $15 at the Bills store. They printed... Now, for those of you who don't remember, O.J. Howard, who was a great tight end for a little while for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, he signed 2 years ago? And he was going to be that, you know, second tight end. He was cut before the final cuts. He never played a regular season game for the Bills, but the Bills thought so highly of him, they started selling his number 8, and it was a number 8 jersey, which I love too, in the team shop. I wear that jersey all the time.
Sure.
Because it's such a great, funny jersey.
I think that is a great jersey because of the irony in the whole thing. And I also like the idea of, like, wearing a fringe jersey to where if you know, you know.
Yeah, because it helps you identify like-minded people.
Yeah, it helps you weed out the... You know, and again, I'm not trying to say that...
helps you weed out the guys. We're cool, man.
I shouldn't have said weed out. It helps you identify...
No, you're right. You weed out the losers.
The like-minded people.
You weed out the sucky losers, as Ryan just said. Quote Ryan,
if I
get rid of all the sucky losers, I am gatekeeping jersey
Well, the reality is if I saw a newer, you know, Nike jersey with number 8 on the front, I'd immediately think like, oh, okay, you invested some money for a custom jersey for Brian Moorman. Yep. Like, good for you.
And then you turn around.
And then it's OJ, and it's Howard. It's like, okay, that's a cool jersey. I think that Kelvin Benjamin is a pretty funny, ironic jersey.
What?
I think that Jordan Matthews is also number 13, right?
Which, by the way, they would have never sold.
Dude, I regret it to this day. At Marshall's like 5 years ago, the season after he left the Bills, he wore 87. He didn't wear 13. I saw a Jordan Matthews jersey, like away. It was a kid's like, you know, youth, but like I could have bought it for like $11. I was like, what am I doing with this? It's literally going to just take up a hanger in my closet. And I regret it to this day. It's a great jersey.
You know, it's funny too. You find out how popular a Bill was when they were gone based on how long their jersey sits around on sale. Because you brought up Tre'Davious White's already has low stock on his jerseys because Bills fans love Tre'Davious White.
Sure.
In February, mm-hmm. my daughter had a hockey game in Buffalo. We were around the corner from the stadium, so I wanted to run into the team shop real quick.
Yeah.
They must have had 60 Cole Beasley jerseys still on sale.
Dude.
Like half price, please take them. Like, that guy went from, like, everybody's All-American to no one wanted any part of that guy, like, in a snap.
Honestly, like, I don't know, and this, don't look more into this than it is. I just think he's a crazy distraction to the team and, like, whatever the case. But, like, I wouldn't wear a Cole Beasley jersey if he gave it to me. You know what I mean? Like, just, like, he doesn't mean anything to me.
Yeah, and but it was just funny. Like, I've never seen those jerseys stick around that effing long.
Yeah, that's actually really funny. And clearly, you're right. Like, in his heyday, you saw those jerseys all over the place.
Who didn't love Cole Beasley?
Right. I actually think a friend of mine bought one and is in the Cole Beasley prime, maybe a little bit past. That's just so funny.
Ew.
I do think. Do you have any other examples? Because I just thought of the most lock of the century.
The
of
funny
the week.
Jersey that you can wear forever immediately.
No, the safest jersey.
Safe, okay, who's your lock for safest jersey?
You ready for this?
Yeah.
Double zeros. Billy Buffalo.
Shut up, you idiot.
That is the safest one that you are ever, and I would wear a double zero.
By the way, he's not double zero, he's BB.
Oh, that's right. Is Dawson Knox upset about that? And do you want it? I think if Dawson Knox ever, let's say Dawson Knox is getting some significant game time. It's a home game, or no, it's an away game, and Billy's there for some reason. In his away BB jersey, and there's no other jersey for Dawson Knox because he has just been torn apart left and right. Just whatever, either it was a factory defect and the Nike jersey's just getting destroyed. Do you think that Jeff would go over to Billy Buffalo and be like, listen, Billy, we need your jersey?
No, I don't think
and that. Dawson Knox is wearing a crop top, like mid-drift BB jersey.
What are you talking about?
It's 88. Kind of works.
Bees. Okay.
Well, actually, I will say the safest jersey, I think, outside of Billy Buffalo, and I've always wanted to do this, but I'm not willing to invest the hundreds of dollars that it's going to take, is to buy a custom jersey that says 00, and on the back it says your name. That's what I've always wanted, because I feel like I could wear that forever. I feel like some people are going to get the joke and be like, oh, that's funny, and I can just, you know, wear it forever.
For the 95% of the people listening that didn't get the joke, that's what it says on the website when you try to buy your own custom jersey.
I just think that would just be so funny.
It says 00 your name until you enter your number and your name, and then it shows you the jersey. Why would that be funny?
Well, also, 00 is my hockey number when I played for our men's league, so I have an affinity to 00. But yeah, I think that would just be hilarious, and I could wear it forever.
All right, so as we talk about the jerseys, like the ones that you're going to get the most mileage out of as a Bills fan.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you two names.
Okay.
Who gets more mileage? You ready?
Ooh, hang on. Okay, ready.
Bills D tackle Ed Oliver.
Okay.
Or Bills linebacker Terrell Bernard.
Ooh, that's a good one.
That's why I asked.
That's a good one.
All right, so Ed Oliver's got the monster contract. The last two seasons he's played, he's been out of his mind.
He's playing over that contract.
He should have won All-Pro. He should have been an All-Pro last season. Terrell Bernard came out of nowhere. He makes a ton of splash plays. Mm. He's also a guy who statistically is a middle-of-the-road linebacker in the NFL. For all the splash plays he makes, there are mistakes that you don't see, at least according to the people in the know.
Mm.
Who's the better lock?
I'm going to go with my gut on this one.
Who are you going with?
I'm going to go with Ed.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I think Ed is the better play because
Bernard younger, though.
What's that?
Bernard much younger.
For sure. But reality-wise, Bernard has 1 year under his belt. Ed has four, right? Four that he came out in 2018. Yeah, it was the draft after Josh. Or 2019.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think that is the safest bet at this point.
And by the way, Ed Oliver is only 26, so, and he doesn't turn 27 until December.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're going with the 30 rule, you still have 4 years as long as he doesn't get hurt and plays well.
Yeah. You know what I feel bad for? Like, and I guess, like, going back to what I said at the top,
mm-hmm.
like, spend your money however you feel it's, you know, appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
But I always feel like every year, I always see at least one person with a number one draft pick jersey. And I remember very distinctly seeing someone with a Shaq Lawson 90 jersey when he was drafted in Buffalo. And I thought, like, you, that's good for you because that's 100% MSRP right there.
Yep, yep.
Like, and I can appreciate the fact that you're taking a chance on somebody. I remember seeing Elam jerseys the first year that he came out. I think that, like, I feel bad for those people,
mm-hmm.
but I also can appreciate the early adopters that are, like, willing to roll the dice a little bit.
I bought my daughter, who's 13, a Dalton Kincaid jersey in August last year.
Well, she loves him.
Yes, but the point is, I invested the $100-whatever dollars.
Dollars.
Dollars. In a guy who had never taken a snap for the Bills before ever.
Sure. Yeah.
Which, by the way, my little one, I have to get your kid a new jersey because she has a Stephon Diggs that I got her.
Right. And I'm not getting paid nearly enough on this show.
It's your oldest that has the Diggs jersey, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so now I got to go get a
jersey. Right, so now, yeah. So, but realistically, you need to buy two because my youngest, Georgia, would be wearing my oldest, Reagan's, mm-hmm. hand-me-down.
Sure.
So now the Allen that Georgia has is, you know, she has grown out of, and she would wear Reagan's Diggs.
How about you get off your ass and buy your own kids
now
a jersey?
Now I need two youth jerseys.
How about you buy your own damn kids
so a make jersey? One O.J. Howard.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And then the second one, let's go Don Beebe.
You know, as you talk about the worst investments you can make for jerseys on the roster right now, you brought up James Cook, you know, any running back jersey. I love James Cook.
Sure.
I'm with you. I will never buy a running back jersey. They almost never make it to their second contract.
Yeah.
The biggest risk outside of James Cook on this team right now, when it comes to big name players, you think would be
Dawson Knox.
That's a great call. I thought the same thing.
Really? Oh no, God! Oh God, that pressure was too much for me.
It sucks, man, because he's a fan favorite. He's a good dude. He's been a major part.
I'm so glad I got that right.
Josh Allen's success.
I hate pressure questions like that.
This could be his last year in Buffalo, based on his contract and the play of Kincaid.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
Right? Like, if they take a tight end in 4, 5, 6 round this mm-hmm. year, which is entirely possible,
sure,
you might as well say goodbye to Dawson Knox next
Plus
season.
Plus, they got David Edwards already on the roster. So, and they just re-signed,
Greg? Talking about?
No, the other tight end.
Steve?
I can't.
Mike, I'm just trying to throw you off. No way to go. Hey,
he had a touchdown in the playoffs.
Yeah, what's his name?
I honestly, it's completely slipping my mind. I have no idea.
Way to go.
Do you know it?
I do, but I'm exhausted.
I know it, but I'm not going to tell you.
I had norovirus, man. I'm still getting over it. It sucks.
Yuck.
Sucks.
Terrible. Welcome to the rest of the nation, which I found out after I had it, like everyone in the country had it. And it like started in Disney.
Bro, I got it on St. Patrick's Day, and I'm still not back to normal yet.
Yeah.
You know, the other one that's a risk right now, too, if you are looking into doing this whole jersey thing,
mm-hmm.
the Deion Dawkins jersey makes me a little bit nervous because I've seen a bunch of those. I think they sell them in the team shop, too. You know, he's a fan favorite, funny guy, nice dude. He's getting up there in years, and I know he just signed that contract extension, but there is an out in 2 years for him.
Yeah.
And he turns 30 this month, by the way.
I also think, too, though, it's like he is one of those fan, like I think you said, like he's that fan favorite,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I think he's one of those players that, like, barring him going to a division rival or maybe even a conference rival, I think you can wear that jersey in perpetuity.
No, not
provided he doesn't do anything, you know, bad to the fan base on the way out.
You know, the safest of all safe
mm-hmm.
jerseys you can buy if you're a sports fan is a jersey of a guy who's not there anymore. Like the Legends jersey,
for
right?
Sure.
Like the Hall of Fame. Like for Buffalo would be
Quentin
Jim
Morris.
Kelly.
Quentin Morris was who I was talking about. I had to look it up.
You're Jim Kelly, you're Thurman Thomas, you're Andre Reed, you're Bruce Smith.
Even I think, you know, okay, no, go ahead.
What are you talking about?
I just think those are kind of vanilla,
why?
In my opinion.
Why?
Because everyone, like, anyone who's going to have a Legends jersey, it's going to have one, it's going to be one of those four. Give me Don Beebe.
Yeah, but they don't sell Don Beebe jerseys.
Give me Kenny Davis.
Hey, okay, again, they don't sell those. I have both of those. I had to like search on years for eBay to find them.
Give me a Frank Reich.
Okay, I also have one of those.
That's what I want.
Okay, but that took forever to find out. Like, that's what I'm
saying.
Give me a
Pete Metzelaars.
I've been looking for a Pete Metzelaars. I've never seen a Pete Metzelaars before. And, like, when these things show up on eBay, like, you know, the vintage clothing market, this sucks, man. It used to be so great.
Yeah.
Nobody wanted any of the old Bill stuff or the jerseys, right? Like 10 years ago?
If it's not hanging up in some boutique on Park Ave for $900 right now, it's in some landfill, and that breaks my heart.
No, but that's what sucks, man. I used to be able to buy these jerseys of, you know, like Don Beebe and Pete Metzelaars and Kenny Davis and guys like that back in the day. $15, nobody cared.
Yeah.
Those jerseys are now $400 on eBay.
It's terrible.
And they throw it at you.
Right. Throw it right to you. I think, though, I want to get your opinion on something.
Okay.
Because we're talking about like legends, right? And everyone that you mention is back in the early 90s color scheme, you know, blue
Jimbo,
jersey, red.
Yeah, yeah. Andre.
The jerseys that the Bills wore in the early to mid aughts, that dark blue garbage jersey.
Yeah.
It seems sad to me. I feel sad that I don't feel like I can wear any of those jerseys at this point.
Who would it be?
Well, but I mean, you could wear a Fred Jackson, you could wear a Stevie Johnson.
Okay, what's wrong with wearing those?
But those jerseys are terrible.
Yeah, but I mean, Fred Jackson and Stevie are bad examples because they also played during when they made the flip, so you can buy the nicer jersey.
Yep. Ryan Fitzpatrick wore those, and same with that. Yeah, okay, yeah. When they flipped over in 2013, was it?
Maybe.
It may have been earlier than that, now that I think about it. But either way, like, you know, the dark blue.
Like,
and then the away jerseys with the two-tone. Like, what were we thinking?
Yeah, those jerseys suck. But when you talk about players that are legends that only wore those jerseys.
Mm-hmm.
Drew Bledsoe.
Yep.
Sam
J.P. Lossman.
No, because J.P. you're right.
He wore the throwback.
But, yeah, but that's one I got.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sam Adams. Mm-hmm. Pat Williams wore the old red, white, and blue. So, Sam Adams, Drew Bledsoe, Takeo Spikes.
Yep, yep, yep.
London Fletcher.
Yep.
Dante Whitner.
Yep.
I would never wear that jersey. But okay, so those four guys,
mm-hmm.
those are guys that I would respect someone for wearing those jerseys, like a London Fletcher, Takeo Spikes, Drew Bledsoe.
I guess.
Marshawn Lynch.
Okay, yeah.
So you're saying that you would not wear the 2002 to 2010-11 jersey.
We're an honest show, right?
Yeah.
I feel like I can't wear those because I feel like I'm going to get judged by wearing them.
Really?
Yes. I feel like because of how terrible they were,
mm-hmm.
the jerseys, and also how bad the Bills were at that point.
Yeah.
That the second part, not so much. I feel like once they flipped over to their current color scheme,
mm-hmm.
anyone who I feel like I'm like the kid who's wearing like JNCO jeans.
Yeah.
You know, and not ironically, like I can't afford Levi's or whatever the new brand is. I don't know.
Got that, old man?
Who cares? I feel judged, and I know it's my own self-conscious. I feel like they're looking upon me like, dude, can you get a new jersey?
Okay, I'll say this. I have multiple of those style jerseys. I have a Kawika Mitchell
Ooh.
That I wear all the time. I have a Kelly Holcomb.
Ooh, sure.
That I wear all the time.
Yeah.
The blue. There's one more that I'm forgetting that I have, but I have no shame in wearing those. I'm proud to wear those.
I have literally never seen you wear those jerseys.
Really?
Never. Never, ever once.
Yeah, no. I wear them. I wear them to the bar. I'll wear them when I'm sitting at home. Yeah, no. I have no shame in those jerseys.
Sitting at home.
Well, I mean, I do.
Where no one can see me.
Well, you come over
except
sometimes.
For Greg.
Who's Greg?
The guy who's outside your window right now.
That's what the hell are you talking about? You know, it's funny, too. Like, when you talk about the Legends jerseys, there are four guys that we mentioned who are looked at as the Bills legends,
sure.
right? Jim,
yep.
Thurman,
yep.
Andre,
yep.
Bruce.
All first name basis.
And for years, when you went in and they were selling those Legends jerseys, those were the only guys you could get.
Yep.
The last 2 years, the Bills have added one more legend.
Oh, of course.
It seems that they've been selling in the team shop. You know who I'm talking
of
about.
Of course I know who you're talking about.
Who?
It's Mr. Tasker.
I forgot about Steve Tasker. I'm cool with Steve Tasker.
Okay.
I met a later one.
A later one?
Later legend that Mitchell and Ness started producing and selling in the team shop.
A later legend.
For those
legend.
Who don't know, Mitchell.
Oh, Doug.
And
Doug Flutie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do we feel about that?
I mean, we've talked about this before. I can.
Get, I know you don't like Doug Flutie.
Yeah.
Is Doug Flutie a Bills legend?
I think so.
You're an idiot.
Yeah, I think
You're an
he
idiot.
Is.
You are an
I
idiot.
I think for that, he was lightning in a bottle. for the Buffalo
Bills.
That's
what makes him not a legend.
But I think, like, it's the, well, I guess, like, let's say Takeo Spikes never played, or I'm sorry, Kiko Alonso never played for another team and also didn't try to decapitate every quarterback that he ever tried to hit after his tenure with the Bills.
Okay.
I think that, like, if he had just played that one season, he would be maybe a Bills, like, culture legend.
Yeah.
And sometime down the road may get his own jersey, ironically. I don't think...
You're also forgetting about that story of the woman that was doing sexual favors for Kiko Alonso jersey.
Of course, I remember that. I'm actively...
I was not in that car.
I am actively omitting that from this conversation, Patrick. Thank you. I think that, like, yeah, I think Doug Flutie stands out because of the whole back and forth with him and Rob Johnson. Yeah, I think that's appropriate. I don't care for it either. I'm not saying I'm here for it, but I can understand the thinking behind
it. How do you put that guy up to those other five guys? Steve Tasker, Bruce Smith, Jim Kelly, Andre Reed, Thurman Thomas.
Who else do you have from 1997 onward?
Why do you need it?
I don't know.
I mean, look, I they could sell a T.O. jersey and I'd be fine with it. Like a vintage Terrell Owens jersey. Like, that was such a monumental moment for the franchise.
I still have a Terrell Owens
jersey. As do I. And maybe that's not why they're not selling it, because everyone held on to their Terrell Owens jerseys.
Dude, but they're terrible. Like, granted, the wind's never going to get you because it's just going to blow right through because the mesh is like 5 feet in between each thing there. Like, you could see the undershirt, like the full undershirt you're wearing.
I mean, we're getting into deep jersey talk now, but like the last like 3 years that Reebok made those jerseys,
awful,
horrible,
dude. It's literally
horrible jerseys.
I have better rags in my garage that I use to like wipe my car down. Like, I'm not joking, dude. And you still had to pay $100 for that.
Yeah, no, it was ridiculous, man. You're right,
terrible.
Yeah, we sound like old man yelling really in the cloud, right? I remember, and I do remember this. I remember when I walked into Dick's, I was in middle school, and I spent $30 on a Ted Washington jersey.
Nice.
The grand price of $30.
And they gave me back 5 cents from a change, and I had enough to catch the metro all the way back down to downtown.
All right, between the Stephon Diggs news and this last break we did, we have been rambling. We're already over an hour.
I love
it. So we're going to make this a three-segment Let's Go Duffalo. Oh. We're going to break a little here, so you don't have to listen and sit there.
Oh, sure.
But we do have to get in everyone's favorite segment. It's been a while.
Yeah.
We're going to find out what's making Ryan sad, and nobody likes a revenge game, which makes this season, dear God, oh my God. Yeah. Did the Bills do this on purpose?
It's primetime must-watch, must-see football.
We're going to do it. Let's go Duffalo, the Odyssey App Rebage Podcast.
What's up?
It's been about a month since we've talked to each other.
Yeah.
Here on the show. And in that month, everything has happened.
There's been a lot going on.
Absolutely everything happened.
Yeah.
So Let's Go Duffalo on the Odyssey app. Maybe get your podcast. He is Ryan Duffy.
Hello.
My name is Pat Duffy. And we will jump right into what happened as we taped the show this week.
Well, what happened?
Yesterday, specifically, around, we're taping this on a Thursday. So Wednesday, 11 o'clock, my phone starts going insane. Mm-hmm. I thought something was wrong with it. Mm-hmm. Turns out it's not. Mm-hmm. The Bills have traded wide receiver Stephon Diggs to the Houston Texans. Okay, so your initial, because I know you heard about it from me, because I texted you, holy shiznit.
I didn't hear it from you. I have a phone that's connected to the internet.
You heard it from me.
I actually got the notification when I was on a meeting for something else, and I noticed the headline real quick, and I thought to myself, like, oh my God, I need to, but I had my camera on. I couldn't look at my phone, mm-hmm. but it was literally the longest 25 minutes of my entire life of like, I just want to look at my phone. Let me see the details. What's going on here?
Okay, so your knee-jerk reaction when you saw that come across at 11 o'clock in the morning was?
Shocked. I was shocked because everything leading up to that moment throughout the entire offseason was Stephon Diggs is going to be a Buffalo Bill. The salary cap, consequences of getting rid of him seemed way too high. Brandon Bean corroborated as much that, like, Steph's our guy. There hasn't been a whole, like, outside of a few, and most recently, you know, the you sure comment and
which,
all that stuff.
Which, by the way, he already may have known he was going out of town.
Could've
it
been.
Said that Tuesday morning, well, I'm trying to think, that was Monday night. Well, I guess you can't really rely on secondhand accounts of trades happening anyway. That could have been a parting shot.
Could have been.
No, when he was going out of town.
Yeah, for sure. But my point is that, like, at least the season didn't end as tumultuously as it did the previous season, where there was a lot more speculation that Stephon Diggs was not going to be a Buffalo Bill for the 2024 season. Now, or the 2023 season, rather. So, yeah, I was a little shocked. But now, I'm curious of your, like, what was your reaction to the whole thing?
Well, here's what I'm trying to figure out. I mean, everybody knows now, right? Diggs goes to the Texans with a fifth and a sixth for a second round next season, second round pick. I'm trying to figure out how this happens and why it happens now. Because there are two conspiracy theories, I guess you want to call it, because we're never going to know, right? Like, it's dolphin tight at one Bills drive now. Nothing ever. No,
he went to the Texans. Jordan Poyer went to the Dolphins.
What did I just say?
You said dolphin tight.
No, dolphin tight is in, like, nothing gets out. I'm sorry.
Right. He's on the Texans.
Shut up. This so is Texans. Oh, tight. Now I remember why we haven't done this in a month. Now I remember.
He's Chargers tight.
We're never going to know what actually the situation is.
You're right, but I think we're gonna hear stuff
throughout,
but we're never truly gonna know.
Look, I don't trust any reports of anything coming out, right?
Right, God, right.
Look, that, okay, but we'll stick with Stephon Diggs for now. The two, I guess you would call them conspiracy theories, was he traded because of off the field stuff, like the drama the last year and a half, everything that happened in Cincinnati, the no mini camp last year, the interaction with McDermott where he was very concerned he's not here, mm-hmm. all the cryptic tweets. You got his brother tweeting he needs to get out of Buffalo, never comes out and defends that.
Twice last season.
Never says, hey guys, I'm happy to be here. You got everything that happened with the Bills reporter last season, blah, 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 blah. So there are Bills fans that are convinced that guy was such a jerk within the building that that's why they wanted him gone.
Well, okay, yep, go ahead.
Okay, and then there's the on-the-field conspiracy theory that, and I mean, it's been well documented the last couple of days if you've been on social media, the last seven games of the season, for all intents and purposes, Stephon Diggs disappeared from the stat sheet, right? I mean, he didn't have a game over 100. He went seven games without a touchdown. The last target he ever gets as a Buffalo Bill is a 55-yard bomb that just goes right through his breadbasket.
In that game, what was he, 3 for 10 and 20 low 20 yardage?
Coughed up the ball on the first play of the game.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, like, look, I'm not here to torch the guy because I'm not going to be one of these people that, well, he was never good, any good anyway. He's arguably, he is a top 3 wide receiver in Bills history.
For sure. I mean, like, the stats alone say it. Like, don't get me wrong. I've been very, you have been very vocal on my behalf of my feelings of Stephon Diggs. But
when I saw this trade, I knew you were over the moon.
I'm not over the moon.
No, bro,
but hang on. Don't cut me off.
Such a victory lap.
I'm not, absolutely not. But I think, like, regardless of how I feel about him as a player and the distractions that I accurately, that I absolutely still think he brought to the team, there is no denying that there was a significant amount of production for a very long time. Now, granted, to your point, he did drop off at the end of last season, and also there were a lot of off-field distractions. And I think Tim Graham of The Athletic put it extremely well. If you have not read his article, I highly implore you to do so. But the analogy that he made was it wasn't one big thing that happened. It was death by a thousand micro cuts.
Okay, look, I love Tim Graham. When I grow up, I want to be Tim Graham.
Sure.
What number one wide receiver on any NFL roster doesn't do exactly what Stephon Diggs does.
Not to the caliber that Stephon Diggs does.
I disagree with you strongly. Look what's going on with T. Higgins in Cincinnati right now.
Okay, he requested a trade.
No, but like, I mean,
and he had been franchised
to that point. Leading up to that point, all these little things. Name me a single big time number one wide receiver throughout NFL history that doesn't have this in their background. You cannot.
Larry Fitzgerald.
Locate.
What? You suck.
Are you sure? By the way, you want to talk about off-the-field distractions? Why don't you Google what happened earlier in his career?
I'm talking on the side of your mouth.
Well, there's a reason I'm talking on the side of my mouth. There's a reason, because there's a pretty big story that everyone seems to forget about Larry Fitzgerald that is not the best thing in the world.
Arizona Cardinals, wide receiver Lawrence Fitzgerald.
Trust me on this.
I'm going to take your word for it.
All right,
but it's your point. Like, it is a common thing among wide receivers in the league. You see all the drama that was going on with Justin Jefferson.
Yeah.
You see all the drama going on with T. Higgins. Mm-hmm. You see the drama going on with Tyreek Hill, Antonio Brown, Stephon Diggs.
I mean, Antonio Brown.
Of course. But I'm just saying, like, Keenan Allen. Like, there's a lot of that kind of goes part and parcel with being a wide receiver in the NFL.
Okay, so then with you doing the victory lap, because we were on multiple chain text messages with different people on Tuesday.
What can I say? My opinion is popular and people want to get what's going on in my head.
I just assumed that they were asking me and you just happened to be on the thing and you're the one that responded.
Because that's how text messages work.
Okay, but what I'm getting at is, I think we're going to be fine, man. Not worried at all. Check me out. I'm Ryan.
I literally did not say that at all. I think what you're referring to is me saying, I think it's for the best for everybody, which I do. As shocked as I was to see the news come across, the more time I've had to really kind of digest and sit on it, mm-hmm. I do think that it's best for all parties involved.
Okay, so Ryan, I have your quote.
Go ahead.
Are you ready?
Shoot.
This was in a group text with some other sports people.
Ooh.
And I don't know how Ryan got in.
Not Stephon Diggs.
So we say, somebody asks, how do we feel about this? And Ryan writes, perfectly fine by me. I wish there was as much of a dead cap head, but I think it's best for all involved.
Literally what I just said.
So happy he's gone. Check me out. He's gone. He's gone. All right. Ryan's excited.
Why
is Michael McDonald with... Okay. Is it the on the field or the off the field stuff that sent him off to Houston?
If you say
combination, I'm going to punch you in the face.
I think it has to be the off the field stuff.
I disagree.
Okay. That's fine.
I don't think that there can be enough of a distraction where if you think the talent's there, you ship him out of town. I think they're legitimately concerned that he's on the back end of his career.
I mean, could be. And you absolutely could be. And that's why I wanted to say it's a combination of both. But I do think that the scale is tipped on the off the field issues. I mean, at the end of the day, like, he was voted a captain. He is a representative of the team. I'm just saying, like call it a popularity contest all you want, and every locker room is going to be different, but like the idea that like his peers voted him as a captain.
Bro, this ain't the NHL. This ain't some sacred sea that gets put on somebody's sweater while they have candles and they're all standing around naked, which by the way you can't do anymore. I mean, there are five, six, seven cap. Tyler Medicavage is a captain.
Yeah.
Right?
You want to know? You know what? I was just thinking this the other day. Like, the only captains that are carrying over from last season to this season is Josh Allen, yep. And I think who was the other special teams captain?
I'm blanking, but yeah, they lost 6 out of 8.
Yeah,
yeah.
Poyer, Hyde to be determined. But Mitch Morris, gone. Gabe Davis, Stephon Diggs, whoever else.
But you prove my point. You prove my point. Like, there's such valuable leaders.
It's just an anecdote.
Six out of eight of those guys are gone. So yeah. No, I mean, putting a C on a guy's jersey because he wants to feel like he's a leader of the team. Right? Yeah, it's an ego stroke.
I think though, but my point was, I think that if he was and I'm not trying to imply that Stephon Diggs is a bad teammate. I've never seen anybody. And here's the thing. I've never seen anybody come out and say he is a bad teammate. I think he is very vocal, and that's just how he expresses himself. I don't like the distractions that it brings to the team as a fan, but what does my opinion matter? My point is, though, I've never heard anyone say that he's a bad teammate. His teammates voted him as a captain. I think if there wasn't as many off-field distractions, the Bills would be willing to run it back for another year. But also, too, the finances of the whole thing. Like, yeah, you take a little bit of a hit this year. Things open up more for 2025 after the Bills win the Super Bowl, and then everything's all hunky-dory.
So, but let's talk about that, right? Because you bring up the financials and you don't think the Bills move on this offseason if he's an ideal soldier in the locker room.
Let me just get my my calculator that has like the little pen or the little like pull handle paper wheelie thing, and then my green rimmed hat. Okay, go ahead.
I think that even without the off-the-field stuff, based on how things went towards the end of the season last year, when you get offered a second-round pick for Stephon Diggs, even
for next year?
Yeah. Okay, look at what the other receivers have been going for in the offseason, right? He's 30. He's going to be 31 years old when this season starts.
Sure.
What was it? Keenan Allen, fifth-round pick? Who was it? Who was the guy from Dallas who was a fourth-round pick? Was that Amari Cooper? Did Amari Cooper get a fourth? Am I thinking of the wrong guy?
I don't know.
The point I'm making is, when I saw second-round pick next year, I was astonished that the Texans were willing to do that deal. Do you know how valuable a second round pick is in the NFL right now?
Yeah.
I mean,
that's a good point. But
look,
again,
look at it this way. I know the cap hit sucks. The cap hit sucks. Dead cap exists. Real cap does not.
Mm. Well, that's actually, you would think it would be the other way around.
Okay. You traded a first round pick for Stephon Diggs to Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
You get a second round pick, and Minnesota's going to suck this year. So that could be a top five pick in the second round that you're getting next season.
Oh, that's a good. Oh, yeah, that's right. That is from Minnesota.
It's not Houston's. It's Minnesota's pick.
Yeah.
So you essentially got 4 years of Stephon Diggs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the cap hit notwithstanding.
Sure.
For 12 draft spots.
So I was actually thinking that, too, and I didn't know how to articulate it yesterday when the news came across. obviously the Bills gave up a first round pick for Stephon Diggs.
But this could be a borderline first round pick.
I agree. So the idea that like it, and to your point, like yeah, the dead money is sucks and it needs
it
to
is
go.
Sucks.
It is sucks.
It is sucks.
And eventually next season it will go to cap heaven. But the idea that we got 4 years of and statistically speaking, an all-time Bills wide receiver,
yeah.
And we lost one round in the pick, you know, like in the compensation we got for him.
You lost a third, maybe a half of a round.
Yeah,
that's it.
I think that is a pretty sweet deal. I think anyone that was thinking that we were going to get a first round pick, yeah, for Stephon Diggs is misguided.
Insane. Yeah. Look, and that's what I'm getting at here is there's a belief that the best general managers in the NFL
is Brandon Bean.
No, that the best. Get rid of. It's better to lose a guy a year early mm-hmm. than lose him a year late.
Sure.
And what I mean by that is if you let Stephon Diggs play out this year to mitigate the cap hit, he's going to be 32 mm-hmm. starting next season. Nobody's giving you anything for him,
yep.
right? You're not getting anything for him. And if he continues to have a downward trend, which I don't know if that happens. I think the guy could still play, sure. but what do I know?
And I also think with the wide, or sorry, go ahead. Yeah,
that you get nothing for him.
Mm-hmm.
If you can swallow the $31 million,
you're going to need a big fork and knife for that one.
But then again, you got that second round pick back. I don't think that they use that second round pick. I think that second round pick gets packaged for them to go after somebody they have their eye on in this draft, i.e. a wide receiver.
You're going to have to Joey Chestnut dunk that water before you slide it down your gullet.
So the idea getting assets back for something that was going to seriously cost you next season, mm-hmm. I like that idea. There's also mm-hmm. the idea that the fastest way to kill a budding franchise is to be too loyal to guys that are getting older. And it sucks, but we've seen over the last month with Trey White, Mitch Morris, I mean, Gabe Davis is an age, that's just non-performance, but Tre'Davious White and now Stephon Diggs, they're willing to turn the page.
And Poyer and Hyde.
Yeah, them too.
Yeah.
Well, Hyde was his own decision.
Sure. Right?
But you were going to say, I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, like, to your point, like, I agree with you. I still think that Stephon Diggs can play. And I'm actually very curious to see, and I guess excited to some degree, of how well he's going to perform in the Houston Texans offense, where there are some other bona fide number one wide receivers there.
So let's talk about that. Yesterday, or on Wednesday when the trade went down,
mm-hmm.
I didn't understand why Houston wanted to do this because I think a second round pick is too much for Stephon Diggs.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I was shocked when that happened.
Yeah.
You have two young receivers that are really, really good.
Yeah.
We're so good that even with one injured, you won a playoff game last season.
That's Nico Collins and Tank Dell, right?
Isn't Tank Dell a defensive tackle?
No, Tank Dell's a wide receiver.
I always assume his name.
He
his
got
name
hurt halfway or what, halfway?
But that's what I mean. Like, yeah. I mean, so like those guys are your bread and butter guys. And I understand wanting to bring in a veteran wide receiver. But if you look at the situation in Buffalo where the Bills, up until the last seven games, were forcing him the ball,
mm-hmm.
right? Do you want to take those targets away from those younger, faster, more talented wide receivers?
Well, the way I see it is you have someone who is an excellent route runner in Stephon okay. Diggs, and you now have that as a safety blanket as opposed to, you know, him being the true number one. And I'm not saying that Stephon Diggs is you know, wasn't a true number one. Obviously, he was number one in Buffalo.
But he wasn't statistically toward the last seven games of the season. He wasn't.
Yeah. Oh, no, of course. But, like, I mean, just, like, positionally speaking.
Okay.
And I don't think that he would necessarily immediately be a number one there, but there's no denying his skill set, and I think he's going to do... I would not be surprised if he did very well with the Texans offense. But that is also assuming that C.J. Stroud continues to play at the level that he played last year.
Look, I think C.J. Stroud's a great quarterback.
Sure.
I do. I'm not scared of Houston the way that some people are for some reason, like, because there was an argument you just made the Houston Texans Super Bowl contenders.
Yeah.
Stephon Diggs does not make you a Super Bowl contender.
I thought the exact same. Like, I hate to just be this, like, agreement factory that we have going on here. But,
no,
like,
you're finally making sense.
But, I completely agree. Like, all of these notifications I see coming across, like, Houston Texans are officially all in, and they're officially a top three team in the NFL. Like, dude, it's like 7 months away mm-hmm. before we even see anybody play football.
And, like, I'll go a step further, right? Like, if you were bringing Stephon Diggs into a situation where he was the clear number one receiver with a really good two and slot receiver there, I get that.
Yeah.
But that's not what this is going to be. You're not going to demote those two younger, more talented guys. And I say younger, more talented because they're faster and they flashed last year.
Mm-hmm.
If Stephon Diggs is a guy who's going to run shorter routes and catch 3 to 6 balls a game?
Mm-hmm.
Is he going to be okay with that? 3 to 6 targets a game?
Well, that's the Stephon Diggs experiment that Buffalo just went through and Minnesota went through, too. I saw someone tweet it, and it actually encompasses exactly what I feel about the whole situation. It's like Stephon Diggs was a number one wide receiver on a playoff team in Minnesota, and he was unhappy, so he went to Buffalo, where he was a number one receiver on a playoff team, so that he went, and he was unhappy, so he went to Houston, where he was a dot, dot, dot.
Yeah, but
like,
he's
not... It's literally, it's history repeating itself.
And maybe, look, maybe in a position where there's less pressure on him, that's something that he wants.
Maybe, yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, he is like you, like everyone keeps saying, like he is on the other side of 30 at this point, you know, like,
well, he said it himself.
Sure.
He said it himself last offseason. He has more seasons in his past than he does in his future.
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe this is the, you know, perfect transition for him, but he also said that when he came to Buffalo first, he's like, you know, putting all the Minnesota stuff behind him and turning the page and all that jazz and, you know, kind of ended in a very similar manner.
Yeah. But I don't know, man. If you're chasing a ring, I'm sorry. My wife made this salad. She said it was a French salad.
Burp salad?
It had an egg and tuna, so that's going to be a bad one.
Are you?
I'm sorry.
I'm
not happy.
The way that
I'm not happy about this.
So you decide to drink a soda.
Yeah, I did.
After you eat a tuna fish and egg salad.
Tuna fish, egg.
The two salads that separately are perfectly fine on a sandwich.
Oh, no. It wasn't egg salad. It was an egg in a salad with some tuna. There was no mayo. You know, my body's a temple. Hashtag no days off.
Tuna egg salad.
Yes. It was actually disgusting. Way bad. I thought it was going to be disgusting. It was delicious. Also, I had a potato in it.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
Like a whole potato?
Yeah, it was. It was a whole potato quartered. It was delicious.
Like an apple.
Red potato. See, I lost my train of thought.
Because you're gross.
Let's talk about Josh Allen.
Sure.
Because, you know, Brandon Bean sits down on Wednesday, 4 o'clock after the trade.
Yeah.
And he's asked, you know, did Josh Allen sign off on this? Mm-hmm. And Brandon Bean, and I'm paraphrasing, says,
no.
We didn't alert Josh that this was going to happen, although we told him it was a possibility in the offseason.
Yeah.
And then his pants immediately burst into flames.
His nose knocked over the microphone.
It
grew 10 feet.
You're going to tell me your franchise quarterback, face of the team, guy you're paying $250 million to, you did not place a phone call to see if he was okay with his number one receiver being traded in the conference.
Yeah, well,
are you kidding me right now?
I don't know if Brandon Bean said this or some commentator said it, but like, oh yeah, the idea that like, yeah, Josh probably woke up to this information on his phone on the West Coast. Like, can you imagine, like, let's say everything that we heard from Brandon Bean is true,
mm-hmm.
and that Josh was completely in the dark on this. Can you imagine just him waking up in his, I assume, Malibu or wherever he is, just, oh man, what a beautiful view of the ocean. I'm just going to go get my coffee and check my what?
Look, man,
Gadzooks!
I get you want to make your quarterback look like a good guy.
Sure.
Right? I get you don't want him caught in the line of fire here.
Mm-hmm.
But is there a single person alive who believes that Josh Allen was not on the phone? Because on Tuesday night, Terry mm-hmm. Pegula, owner of the Bills, was in the building for Jeff Skinner's 1,000th Sabres game, or hockey game.
Did you see the jet ski that he got?
I did see the jet ski.
1,000. It's like the equivalent. Don't get me wrong, a jet ski is pretty cool. But like when I saw it said 1,000 games on it, I just thought of like that Office episode where Michael gets the hockey jersey on the back. It just says from Dwight.
Yeah, it also sucks because like wherever you park it, everyone's going to know Jeff Skinner hangs
right.
out here.
Oh my God, Jeff Skinner's here.
I also love they're calling it the Jeff ski.
That's hilarious.
But
also kind of right there served up for you, but still, way to take advantage of it. Low-hanging fruit.
Terry Pegula was at the game, and everyone assumed he was there to say congratulations to Jeff Skinner, and then somebody, an insider, found out he was at the arena until long after midnight, and the joke was, something's going down here. Well, it turns out it was.
He was getting drunk with Jeff Skinner on the Jeff ski.
But I find it hard to believe that if they were having conversations about trading Stephon Diggs that night, that Josh Allen wasn't on that call at some point.
Yeah.
He has to be.
You're absolutely right.
And he wants
right.
to hear the plan. Like, even if you're not looking for his permission, which I think they would.
Yeah.
Or at least you're telling him, look, we're doing this and we want you to be one of the first to know. You have to alert him as to what your plan is
mm-hmm.
moving forward.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
No?
I know. I'm with you. But here's the thing. Like, I'm such a gullible mark that, like,
yeah,
when I see the you know, the tweet that says, per Brandon Bean, Josh Allen was not made aware of this, whatever. Like, I take it as gospel initially. And that's because I'm a rube, you know? But to your point, I completely agree with you that, like, there's no way they can make that kind of decision in a bubble. Now, of course, they have every right to from a business perspective, but I just can't imagine.
No, look, man, if you already had trouble, if the off-the-field issues with Stephon Diggs, the mm-hmm. drama, I mean, off-the-field issues was more Von Miller, the drama off the field.
Gosh.
Is what shipped Stephon Diggs out of town. That franchise is going to do everything they can to make sure Josh Allen's happy.
Sure.
You cannot cause any friction.
No, but I'm just saying, like of course, like any general manager can make that decision, whether it's with the head coach. Like, that's literally their job. They can make that decision. But I'm just saying, like, I think that it would be ill-advised that if they made that decision in a bubble, and I'm sure Josh Allen was advised on it.
Do the Bills think they can win right now?
I think they can win right now.
No, do the Bills think they can win right
now? I absolutely think they can win right now. And I think that, like, if anything, this is a great amount of motivation for them to win right now. Because literally everyone has now said the Bills are in the third in the AFC East at this point, behind the Dolphins and the Jets.
So let's talk about that for a second. Like, it does feel like they made this move because they think so little of the AFC East that they can make all of the changes they've made on the roster, you know, set up the cap for 2025 to be malleable, mm-hmm. and still win the division. And the argument for that is pretty strong. I mean, Miami is cutting salaries like the Bills are, but the difference there is Buffalo is jettisoning older players that have been injured, mm-hmm. where Miami is letting guys walk out of the building in their prime. Mm. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And Miami hasn't even paid their quarterback yet.
Yeah.
And then you look at the Jets. Mm-hmm. 40-whatever-year-old Aaron Rodgers coming off an Achilles, having played 4 snaps with the coach, offensive coordinator, and GM all on the hot seat.
Yeah, but he's Aaron Rodgers, Patrick.
Okay.
He hasn't played football in 2 years.
Well, a year. It'll
be of
year.
Course he's going to be, you know, he's you know, watch The Crown, you know? Watch The Throne. I don't know. I didn't watch the show. I don't know. But still.
New England is not even relevant, so we don't have to talk about them.
Well, but after this horrible move by the Bills, like, who's to say they're not going to end up basement of the division? And from what I could see, the Patriots are going after Brandon Ayuk. Or Ayuk?
Ayuk, yeah.
Yeah.
I saw the Bills are going after Brandon. Everyone's going after Brandon Ayuk. Right. He's moving into my house. I got a guest room. Look, I mean, but that's the sign of a good coach in front office, right? Like,
and handsome.
Okay. If you can make all these moves and still be the betting favorite in Vegas, which, by the way, the Bills are to win the AFC East.
Vegas.
They are still the betting.
For those listening at home who are taking a drink anytime, if you're over 21,
how else would you say it?
Vegas.
How else would you say it?
Vegas.
How else? No, how else?
No, it's not the matter of the pronunciation. It's just the fact that every single episode, by some way,
yes,
you are able to squeak out the term Vegas.
Because I'm trying not to sound like a biased Bills fan. I am explaining that even the bookmakers in Las Vegas, mm-hmm. which is what normal people say when they're talking about odds.
Vegas.
Believe the Bills, they're still the favorites to win the AFC East right now.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
If Bean and McDermott pull this off, mm-hmm. what they've done over the last month, and they are still Super Bowl contenders, they're the greatest GM coach combo in history.
I mean,
Bills history.
I think, like, say what you will about Brandon Bean's, you know, draft hitting capabilities, and say what you will about Sean McDermott and his questionable game time decisions at times throughout his tenure.
By the way, don't love the extra challenge. That rule changed this year.
Yeah, seriously.
But you were saying,
you know, say what you will, like, they're not without their criticisms. I'm not saying they're infallible, but I think they've done a really good job up to this point, and I think that gives them a little bit of the benefit of the doubt that there's some kind of plan here.
Well, look, that's Bean's MO, right? Like, you're right. Not gonna make a move without a corresponding move. Like, sure. It's not just cut. It's not the old days where, you know, you cut Bruce Thurman and Andre. And like,
there's going to be a couple years of pain here.
Exactly.
Who was that? Darcy Ruggieri.
Darcy Ruggieri. He said that, and we haven't made the playoffs since. But, like, they're going to take that pick, and they're going to package it to go find somebody in that draft.
Sure.
There's going to be a trade that they're not going to leave Khalil Shakir as the number one receiver coming in next year.
Or Curtis Samuel
right behind him, right? And here's the thing, man. They deserve the benefit of the doubt, mm-hmm. right? Like, I mean, when they first got here,
that's what I just said. You're saying what I just said.
The slogan was trust the process.
Sure.
And, you know, again, you can talk about the on-the-field stuff with McDermott and his decisions. Mm-hmm. And I don't even think that the drafting record for Bean is all that bad, to be honest with you. I mean, they're all still in the league. Mm-hmm. Gabe Davis got a monster contract. Terrell Edmonds got a monster contract. I mean, what's your problem with drafting there?
Cody Ford, why can't I think of his name?
Because your argument's bad.
Traded to the Colts. Zach Moss, Devin Singletary's on a different team.
Wait a minute. But yeah, but the running backs never make it to second contracts anymore. You got assets for those guys.
But they're also not on the team anymore.
Yes, okay.
You didn't get an asset for Devin Singletary. You didn't get a comp pick.
You got an asset for Zach Moss.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
You got Nyheim Hines, who is also not on the team anymore. And you didn't get any draft compensation for it.
But he's still an asset. He was an asset.
Fair enough. Fine. I'm just saying, like, there are You miss on Cody Ford. By all accounts up to this point, you know, Kyrie Elam was a bit of a stretch, and it doesn't, like, he's not being an active contributor to the team.
Okay.
There's no denying that his late round picks, Terrell Bernard, Matt Milano, Taron Johnson, Christian Benford, like, those are really solid picks that really weigh the scale the other
and
way.
And that's the point I'm making, right? As long as you have guys that can play that are on the field, no matter where they were drafted, it works for you, and they have those guys.
Yeah, and I think also, too, it's, and maybe this kind of goes without saying, but, like, I think the later round picks, if they're significant contributors to the team, I think that really kind of balances out the potential misses or the some misses.
No, it does. Exactly. Rounds. Like, whether if your first round, if you miss on Elam, but Benford is that guy that you hoped Elam was going to be, okay.
Sure.
Because how many 6th round picks make it to their second contract?
For sure.
Not a lot.
Yeah.
Look, what I'm saying is, look, Bean and McDermott have, since they got here, been laughed at every offseason nationally.
Mm-hmm.
And they're always in it. So, don't they deserve the benefit of the doubt here?
I definitely think they do. That's why I said it earlier. They deserve the benefit of the doubt.
Okay.
And I can't wait to see what's up that Bean sleeve that's likely going to be rolled up to the elbow on draft night.
Well,
that's actually more of a day two look. He seems like a suit and tie all the way top button on draft night.
Well, that's the other weird thing. And just real quick to touch on it, because we'll have a lot of time to talk about this getting into the draft. If their plan is to go and get someone in the top 15, top 10, like a top 3 wide receiver, which I guess is feasible,
mm-hmm.
it wouldn't line up with what McDermott's comfortable with, because he doesn't like giving rookies responsibility right out of the gate, and that would be your number one receiver.
It's a new era at Highmark. Really missed the opportunity with that one.
Like, even Dalton Kincaid, who broke every Bills rookie tight end record mm-hmm. and was up there in the NFL rookie tight end.
For Bills tight end record, not even rookie tight end record.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, even they didn't really let him loose until halfway through the season.
Yeah. Right? When they tried to prove to Stephon Diggs that, like, hey, we actually don't need you, sir.
I mean, it worked. Look, I mean, those last 7 games, he didn't have a touchdown. They averaged 27 points a game and mm-hmm. went 6-1.
Yeah.
The only loss in overtime after Gabe Davis ran the wrong damn route coming out of his break.
Terrible. Well, now that he's in Florida, he's closer to the equator where the Coriolis effect will actually kick in. So even if he runs the wrong way, it'll be right.
Can you go home?
Why? That was a funny joke.
I don't even know what that means.
Where the water goes the other way. You remember that Simpsons episode? Come on. You're not dumb.
It has nothing to do with the equator. It's the other hemisphere, you idiot.
Yeah, which is below the equator.
You realize that Florida's in the same hemisphere as
I
Europe.
Know. I'm saying that they were closer to the equator. Are you, like, are you deliberately
Australia
being obtuse?
Is literally on the obtuse.
It was a joke.
Okay. You're wearing a Vineyard Vine zip-up, and you're going to try to use the word obtuse on
me? Is it deliberate? Are you being deliberately obtuse?
What is that from?
Shawshank.
Go home. So with all these players being shipped out of Buffalo, let walk from Buffalo... there are some serious issues for Bills fans that want to show their pride come Sundays in bars and at the stadium.
Mm-mm.
And you may need to get a new outfit, my friend.
Mm.
A very expensive, specific part of your Bills outfit. It's hard to figure out who the safest move is right now, and we will get into it next. Let's go Duffalo, the Odyssey App Reach Podcast.